Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe that you are a hater. We are doing our second show of the week. That is when we have a guest join us, and we are fortunate to have this week with us from Yahoo Sports. He is absolutely one of the best in the business at this. His name is Dan Wetzel. And Dan, you had the joy of attending the NCAA basketball trial in New York City as it was going on. And the first question I ask is, has anybody figured out why they even did this in the first place?
Not really. I tell you, the probably the most troubling part is what happened was a financial advisor in Pittsburgh got busted on securities fraud, like a real crime. And part of his plea deal to get out of it was he was going to give the feds college basketball and you know, amateur basketball. And he set up all these dudes and introduced them to the undercover agents. We had two undercover agents working on this case for over a year, let alone wiretaps, secret meetings, I mean, everything. And so they end up nailing all these guys on what I would think is a fake crime, if a crime at all. And the guy who actually committed a crime, he's cool. So
he got off on securities fraud for this, right? Like, assistant coaches are going to jail, and this dude got off on securities fraud.
Absolutely. So we could get wiretaps of like $1,000, $1,300 cash drops and stuff like that. And this guy committed a real crime. And you think about how much money was spent and resources. Like, we got FBI, undercover FBI agents. Cool. How about we nail somebody doing something instead of, hey, Adidas is paying a kid, you know, 10 grand. Okay.
I wonder when it got to the top, though, somebody had to be disappointed that that's all this was, right? Like, there had to be whoever, you know, made the call that this is what we're going to do. I just feel like when this is all you get, you can't be happy, can you? Like, this can't be what they thought they were getting.
This is all just my opinion. I don't know what happened, okay? But my guess is, because if you look at this, they were up on wires. They had got these two these two undercover agents had infiltrated the business a little bit and had gained some trust, yet they pull the plug and arrest 10 people that nobody knows other than Chuck Person because he's working as an Auburn assistant. Now, they could have stayed on for another year, and now maybe they're sitting there arresting a prominent basketball coach that everyone's heard of. Right now, maybe it's Rick Pitino and Bill Self. I don't know. I'm not accusing them of doing any wrong. But wouldn't your target be somebody big? Now we got a story. Okay, now we got something. Instead, it's like, yeah, hey, look, we got this. We got assistant coach at Oklahoma State. Great. You know, we got this middle manager at Adidas. Boy, we really nailed him. You know. Yeah, so I'm guessing somewhere along the line it got up there and somebody goes, wait, what are we wasting our time on? Just end that case. That's just my opinion, because why would you settle for, you know, these guys?
Well, also, don't forget, they got the dude who makes suits. The suit man was easily my favorite part of this story.
The clothier, I like to call him. You don't get to use the term clothier very often. Yeah, we got the suit guy. We got a 24-year-old street hustler who's trying to be Jerry Maguire. We got, you know, four assistant coaches who are just trying to make a couple extra bucks. Like, you know, someone's come, hey, I'll give you 20 grand if you advise your guys to sign with me. All right, what the heck, right? All right, someone wants to give me 20 grand, I moonlight. You know, you're not supposed to, you should get fired from your job. You're not supposed to if it says contractually, but, man, everyone's going to have a side hustle. James Gatto, who got convicted of two counts, they kind of tried to make him out to be like this Adidas mastermind. He's worked there 25 years at Adidas. He's climbed up he's basically in charge of the money going to which AAU teams. He was making 139 grand a year, which is a very nice salary, but by no means is this a job where he is getting rich. okay? He's got kids, a wife. He lives in Portland. It's not cheap. Like, he has a good job, but he's working a gazillion hours for it, and it took him a quarter century to get it. And they found no skimming of the money. They found, like, it would have been presented, right? I'm assuming, you know, he wasn't stealing. He wasn't cheating on his expenses. He was just doing the job. Like, this is the mastermind. And they would play these, like, they would play, like, these audio in court. And he'd be like, okay, here's a call from James Gatto to leaving a message to Rick Pitino, right? And it would be like, hey, Coach Pitino, this is James Gatto from Adidas. Sorry to bother you. Really sorry. But if you could please call me back, you know, like, this is the mastermind? Like, come on. He's scared to leave a message for these guys. He's nobody. And this is the guy that, oh, we're going to put him away. Like, the streets are safe with James Gatto, Christian Dawkins, and Merle Code on them. Okay? Like, America doesn't have to worry that they might convince another multi-billion dollar multinational corporation to give some money to poor high school kids.
Well, like, one thing I've wondered about this, when these guys realized that, like, the actual feds were involved, because everything I've read seemed to indicate everybody was concerned about getting caught by the NCAA, but nobody comported themselves as though they were thinking that they might go to jail, right? Like, nobody's talking in code, really. They look up one day and they're like, wait, what do you mean the FBI is at my door?
I mean, they did have, like, burner phones, and they would have code, but it was, like, the worst code ever. Like, it would be like, yo, I don't want to discuss this payment, so call me on my burner. Like, come on, guys. Like, I'm like, that was when I'm like, maybe you guys should maybe do a weekend in prison just for being so blatant. But no, they didn't. Nobody knew it was going to be a crime. I mean, I'm sympathetic to them. I always try to meet everybody when I cover court cases, you know, families and, you know, try to really, and I don't care how horrific the accuser is. You want to, like, try to get their side. I mean, you know, Jerry Sandusky's family. I mean, you know, like, you try to be fair a little in some cases, but, like, it's just like, this is just ridiculous. Are we really here in Manhattan at this big federal courthouse? Like, you know, but there we are. So yeah, these guys didn't know. They thought they're hiding from the NCAA, and they ended up, you know, oh my God, they're literally, the FBI is listening to these phone calls. I mean, even the way they would talk on the calls, they'd just be bantering about crap. And, you know, it was clear they had no idea.
Now, like, what would you say was the best description of the scene around the trial? Because, you know, federal court, they don't allow cameras in there. So we all just kind of imagine and we look at the drawings that they come up with.
Well, I mean, there were three defendants. So it's kind of, you know, a lot of lawyers. There weren't that many people there. You know, court would be mostly half full, less than half full, a third full. There was very little media. You know, you'd have these families. It was very, I've covered a lot of trials, and most of them are way more serious. So it wasn't very intense. This wasn't a murder trial. There was no aggrieved party there weeping in the first row, right? I mean, it just didn't feel like if these guys get off or they get convicted, like, there's nobody who's like, I need justice, you know? And so that really changed the element of what a normal court case is. I mean, even if you're just at, like, someone snatched my purse, there's going to be someone there being like, you stole my purse, you know, I'm mad at you. There's nobody mad. I mean, the actual actual victims, they would have attorneys there. Like, we think Kansas had an attorney. Like, the attorney wouldn't tell us where he's from, but, like, Kansas is there, right? I'm pretty sure. So we'll assume that they're rooting for nothing to come out, right? Like, they don't want anything to come out. So instead of being like, yeah, we're going to nail them, it's like, oh my God, I hope nothing gets said today. And, you know, these victims, I mean, it's what the people are like, how did this even come about? I mean, what they basically did, the feds were basically able to say that if you make a player ineligible, a college player ineligible, then you have defrauded a college because they have signed and are playing a kid that can get them in trouble with the NCAA. And so by paying a player to go to a certain school, you are not helping that school. You are turning that school into a victim, even if this is under the direction of the basketball coaching staff. Like in the case of North Carolina State, there is direct testimony. Like this guy, TJ Gasnola, dropped the money off at an assistant coach's house at NC State, who then delivered the money to the family of Dennis Smith Jr. Or supposedly delivered it. They never introduced the actual cash bag drop, but we're going with it. Okay, even then, because they said, well, the assistant coaches would be defrauding the schools too. They're not the school. So we're like, well, who's the school? Is Bill Self Kansas, or is it some chemistry professor? Is it like the board of trustees? Is it the student? Like, who is this thing? But they were able to do that. And additionally, because these people knew nothing about college basketball, and I mean nothing, like during jury selection, they're like, has anybody here heard of the name Rick Pitino? And there's like 50 people in the room, like six stand up. That's it. You know, basically they all got bounced. It was like, I'm a UConn fan. Like there was a Syracuse other guy. Most of these people knew nothing, right? But they were able to convince the jury that NCAA sanctions were so significant that these schools were dead if they got nailed on it. Okay, like you would, you know, get fined, you would have vacated wins, you could get scholarship. All of this is true. But in reality, NCAA sanctions aren't that big of a deal. Okay, the Alabama football program has been hit with sanctions many times through the years. Right? The, you know, Kentucky basketball programs many times. Carolina's had scandal. Dude, everybody, Kansas has been nailed many times. It's the cost of doing business in the sport. It's like saying you cannot commit a foul in a basketball game. If you commit a foul, a referee will blow a whistle super loud and point at you in front of all the fans and all the people watching on TV. It'll be humiliating. And then the other team gets to take two free shots at the hoop. Right? Instead, you go, look, yeah, Alabama gets put on probation, and while they're on probation, they build the stadium bigger. And then they get off, and they get going again. And that's the thing I think was the number one thing that the feds did, and I tipped my cap to them on this because just as a legal thing, they did brilliantly. They made it seem like if you got caught by the NCAA, you were dead. And everyone knows in college sports, you get caught by the NCAA, all right, go sit in the corner, you'll be back.
Well, especially in basketball, because like reloading in football takes a while. You got to get the right dude and all this. Basketball, you can reload this with one class. Three dudes.
Syracuse has been busted. Like Jim Boeheim's been nailed like multiple times. This program, they never stop going to. They never are bad, right? What's it? 40 years, same coach. It's like okay, you caught us that time. Next guy, we'll find some more recruits. All the best schools they could, and they wouldn't allow. The judge wouldn't allow the defense to really counter that with all the mayhem, and. And that's what I think really, like they couldn't even really bring up into evidence much how Louisville was on probation as this was going on. Like they had already had a title stripped and they already were nailed for the escorts in the dorm. They weren't able to bring that into evidence. And that's what really got them, because if you sit there and go, all right, Louisville had just lost the national title, was on probation, had been nailed for this unbelievable scandal that's way the heck bigger than this, and yet Rick Pitino was still employed and the staff was still employed, and Brian Bowen Jr., Tugs Bowen, still wanted to go there. Like, there really was no damage to that scandal other than we took a banner down. And that's really why they won it. So people wonder what was the crime and how'd they win? That was it. They basically got a bunch of people who knew nothing about college basketball or college sports. And they're looking at it, I think, and going, why do you have a burner phone? Why are you sending these cryptic texts? And why are you hiding? And that looks like fraud. But the fraud was to hide from the NCAA, not to hide from the feds. And I think that's how they want it. But they want it, I'll tell you that.
All right, we'll be back with more with Dan Wetzel in just a minute. But first, guys, you know, 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. Like me. That's a big problem. Thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you had than to replace the hair you've lost. Now, how do you feel a year from now if it's business as usual up there? Why do guys sit back and watch their hairlines move back, back, back when they can turn to medicine and science? Well, there's a solution for Hims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. There's no snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Prescription solutions that are backed by science. No waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits. You can save hours by going to forhims.com. Just answer a few quick questions and a doctor will review and prescribe you. Products are shipped directly to your door. Now, order now. My listeners can get a trial of Hims for just $5 a day right now while supplies last. See website for full details. This will cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/Bomani. That's forhims.com/Bomani. forhims.com/Bomani. Now, one thing you mentioned was that the courthouse was about a third full and that you said that there really wasn't much media. I am fascinated by the idea that there really wasn't much media there because A, this was interesting stuff, and B, I think maybe even 7 years ago, I feel like this would have felt like a lot more scandal than it has.
Well, I think the media is broke. Like, they're not, just these newspapers and stuff don't have the money to just go cover a 3-week trial in Los Angeles. And I think 20, 15, 10 years ago, even, you know, the Kansas City Star would have been there. Kansas is on trial, right? Well, there's nobody from Kansas there. And I think that was a big part of it. And I think, I think people have become immune to this stuff, right? I mean, one of the things, this is a while ago, but when Charles Robinson and I were really doing a lot of college investigations, one of our goals was just to be like, we're tired of the argument that it only goes on here. Let's just investigate everyone. And we just started rattling off scandal, scandal, scandal. And then you have the other general scandals. But then you're like, okay, it's Ohio State, it's Oregon, it's Miami, it's all these different places. And I just think at some point the balance tipped. Not taking the credit, but that was part of it. I think there was just a huge wave of scandals. And I think it kind of capped with Nevin Shapiro. And it was sort of like, all right, everyone's doing it. What are we going to do about it? And the NCAA was rattled, but I think fans just stopped becoming like, well, who cares, right? And the bigger scandals are, you know, Jerry Sandusky and Larry Nassar. Like, those are scandals. Now, just because some point guard got $1,000 to play somewhere, who cares anymore? And I think there just was a tipping point. Maybe it was generational or demographics or whatever it is, but I don't know that anyone really cares about this stuff that much anymore, even though it's fascinating stuff and it's kind of juicy. There isn't that like moral outrage that you would have had in the past.
Yeah, and it kind of makes you wonder why the NCAA, I mean, obviously agreed, but continues with the charade that they insist upon, because I've felt that I do think that people kind of like the idea of amateur sports, right? Like, as ridiculous as it may seem, I do think for a lot of people it kind of adds to the charm of it. But Bill Self, like, we're talking like a top five coaching name in the country. He's on the text message basically talking about paying somebody, and he just coached on national television a couple days ago, and it's like it never happened.
Yeah, people do. There is a segment that likes the idea of the amateurism. There's no question, even though it's, you know, absurd, or just the idea that it's somehow a level playing field. That one always gets me. You know, well, if we allow the kids to play, what would stop Idaho State from all, like, you know, okay, good luck. You know, let Idaho State try. Who cares? Bill Self in this, I think there's like something about this and just the way we do things now. Like, it's all deny, 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 and then play to your base. Like, no matter what you are or what you're doing. And so with Kansas, it's like, oh, Bill Self's the victim. He wasn't accused of anything. And that was their party line. And the fans bought it, or they're going with it. And it's like, what do you mean he wasn't accused of anything? He's absolutely accused of something. Like, he's on these text messages. Like, I'll give you a specific example of those who didn't follow it that closely. Like, there's this kid, Silvio D'Souza, who's making a decision on where to go. and it's down the last couple of days. And Silvio D'Souza hails from Angola, and he has a guardian in the United States who's running the recruitment. And Bill Self and Curtis Townsend, their assistant, are on the text to this guy, T.J. Gaffnola, who was the Adidas bag man, quote unquote. And he would fly around the country and deliver, like, literally 30 grand in cash, 40 grand in cash to people. Quite a job. I don't know how you put that on your tax form. But that was his job. And they're texting with him. And they're like, hey, we're close with Silvio. You know, let us know how it goes if you talk to the Guardian tonight. And then, you know, he texts Bill Self like, hey, I talked to him. Oh, how'd it go? Bill's right back. Oh, light work. No problem. You know, all this stuff. Like, he's right in the middle of this thing. And it's like, well, he would profess in other text messages. He would talk with them, you know, about their recruits. And he'd say, I'm here to help. We're going to help you. Adidas is going to help you. And like, did these people think he was helping by like pointing out the size of the library or something? Like, what do you think this guy's doing? I mean, of course, this is what he does. Everybody knows it. And, you know, he's in there. And, yeah, Kansas is like, yeah, we don't care. We suspend the player. Right. The player gets it. He might be guilty, so the player can't play. The coach might be guilty, but the coach gets to keep coaching. You know, fire up the pep band. Let's go. You know, we're good. And so it's the dichotomy of college athletics. It's kind of the fun part, too, because all the other fans can be outraged and yell. And then the Kansas fans will be like, no, not us. and, you know, I always say every college sports fan thinks everybody is cheating except us. Especially our rival, right? They're really cheating. Our guys, no way. My coach is so moral, high, you know, I mean, give me a break with this stuff.
And it was interesting that Bill Self was in those text messages. This is how it's done. Just like at UNC and Duke, like even in talking to these guys, he needed to talk them through. Hey, you know, it's not just us, right?
Yeah. Even that, they're like, well, this is what Nike does for Duke and Carolina. And then the bad Gasnola comes and Kentucky, you know. And yeah, this is how it's done. Okay. Like this was the thing about it. There was actually a guy, a former smaller college coach came up to the trial for a couple of days. I met him. He's from North Carolina, real nice guy. And he had been reading about it. He just was like, I got to go see this. I want to hear like, how does this really work? Cause he's like, I always wanted to coach D1, but like, I could never get in on it. And you know, it was confusing and all that. And he's just like, this is outrageous, man. Like, this is crazy because it was just laid out. And so if you're a fan of college sports, like this is it. They can tell you that, you know, these kids, why'd you pick? Oh, I woke up and I just was dreaming blue, you know, or I really liked the foliage they had on campus and all this stuff. And they do like that stuff, but that's not how it works. Like there just aren't very many deals going like where these kids haven't already been paid or getting paid or something's moving them in that direction. And the great recruiter is the one who's connected. It's not, he's just so charming. It just doesn't work that way. They tell you it does, but it just doesn't. You can believe it if you want, but you're believing a lie.
Well, I mean, there just aren't that many people who are in a position to turn down money. Right. Like there are some people that can just be like, nah, that's okay. We'll wait the year before the money comes. But if there is money to be given to somebody, there's somebody that's going to take it. Like, I don't know why they can't get that part.
Look at these four assistant coaches that have been busted. They all had $200,000 a year plus jobs. They say, hey, how about 20 more? Take it.
Yeah.
Look at the coach. You know, everybody takes money. Exactly. You get a little extra money, but especially if you're struggling a little bit or you want to travel and see the amount of the money that was discussed about, I need money so I can watch my kid play there and travel to the games was interesting to me. And now as a parent, I never thought of that when I was younger, but now as a parent, I could see that. All right. I'll send my kid there, but what are we going to do in Kansas? I can't get to the games. Do I move to, I need a little help moving there. I want to be around my son. You know, because these kids at this level have a chance to make it to the NBA and make millions. They've got the lottery ticket, but it isn't quite there. And only a million bad things can happen. And only one good thing can happen. And so if you're the parent, I can see why you'd be like, I want to be right there just in case anything goes down. I don't want them in the dorm. If I, you know, more times over my apartment, like, because, you know, anything can happen. Campus police come in. Oh, you're in a room. There's some weed in a dorm room. Oh my God. Boom. You're on SportsCenter. And who knows what, you know, there's so many things that can go wrong. And so they just want to be around them. They love their kid. And it's kind of heartbreaking when you think about it. Like, that was one of Brian Bowen Sr., who, you know, I'm not going to say is a sympathetic guy, but, you know, one of his things was he just wanted to be wherever his kid was going to go. He wanted to be right there. Now, he could have sent it to Michigan State. It would have been fine. But, you know, you can see why at the end of the day, they're like, hey, Donovan Mitchell just turned pro. My son plays the same position. I can go play for Donovan Mitchell's coach, take Donovan Mitchell's spot. You know, AC, like, why wouldn't you go play for Louisville? Rick Pitino. This is a great coach. But I need some money because I want to move down there. And that's what gets them busted. So some of it isn't like, I need the money because I want to drive around a Bentley. It's like, I need an apartment.
You're also handing your kid over to somebody that you've already deemed to be untrustworthy in a lot of cases. And the sharks that surround programs, just because there's so many of these kids like this, and all you got to do is be the right person to have the right game, and then boom, you got somebody. Especially when it's a non-family member involved in this, you're not just going to go hand over this asset and just say, all right, well, you guys can talk to him. It's cool. I've got this under control. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think a lot of the NCAA rules, particularly in basketball, are based on, like, the 1970s, right? So you didn't know if your kid was good enough. So you send him to a coach. You hope he goes to play for this coach. And in 3 or 4 years, he continues to develop. 4 years, right? You had to go 4 years. And maybe starts as a sophomore or a junior, and you got to go. And you don't really know about all these programs, and the country seems bigger. You haven't done this AAU all over. And nobody knows who your kid is except in your hometown or maybe your state if you want a state title, or people who read the Bob Gibbons newsletter, right? Now, totally different. You got 1 year and you're going to the league. You got people telling you you're in the league. You've met NBA people. You take the case of Zion Williamson. Nobody knows who he is. The kid's got 1.7 million Instagram followers. Before he ever set foot at Duke. And he's going to have more. But if you have 1.7 million Instagram followers, most of whom are other teenagers, okay, I talked to a marketing guy during this trial, you could sell an ad for $40,000, $50,000. He could stand there holding a Muscle Milk or just drinking it, get $40,000, $50,000. Because that's how much influence he has over younger people. And what has changed is that the high school star in 1976 or something like that, he's going off to play for Bob Knight. Yeah, he was an amateur. Zion Williams is a professional. He just has to pretend he's an amateur for like 7 months. He is well known. He has a brand. He can get paid to play basketball. He could do whatever, all sorts of stuff. So the process has started earlier. Brian Bowen Jr., Tugs Bowen, okay, about the number 30 recruit in the country, number 25 recruit in the country, real good. But he isn't Zion Williamson, and he isn't DeAndre Ayton, and he isn't going to be number one pick. He got paid by Adidas $25,000, or his dad got paid for Adidas, $25,000 to play for an Adidas AAU team in the summer between his sophomore and junior year. He got paid 25 grand for one summer. That is the high school job of all high school jobs. He gets that kind of money. Now, you and I or anybody else could be like, that is absolutely nuts. Why would you pay a kid? Adidas pay. You know what you're worth? Whatever someone's willing to pay you. Adidas saw the value in having him play for their team. He's a professional basketball player at that point. Low paid on the scale, like, kind of. But somebody saw value in his basketball and is willing to pay him $25,000 to play for a summer. He's only a sophomore. Now, what is the number one player worth? You know, if we know he's worth 25 grand, what could have Zion or Deion had they so chosen? So the idea is the NCAA rules is like, well, you're an amateur, now you turn pro. It's like, no, man, I turned pro 3-4 years ago. I just have to now pretend I'm an amateur for a little while. Then I go pro again. And that's where I think you have such a clash, is NCAA is not trying to delay. They used to always want to delay capitalism. Now they're trying to stop it. And it becomes even more absurd than saying, because they used to say basically, Taylor Swift needs to not cut an album when she's 15. She needs to wait, go to like sing in the choir at the University of Tennessee for a year, and then she can cut an album. And now it's more like, okay, Taylor Swift's got like sold 10 gazillion albums under a surname or something, and now she's got to come here for a year. Then she can become a, you know, none of it makes any sense in our country. And that's why you've got so much issue.
Well, the idea of paying him $25,000 to play for an AAU team, I think the mechanics of that are still kind of like foreign to me. Are they really just betting on the idea that maybe Brian Bowen turns into a superstar from being the number 25 player in his class? Because it's just wild to me to think that that's actually worth $25,000.
Part of it is the long-term bet that we can get the guy. Everyone's chasing the next LeBron the way when LeBron was there, they were chasing the next Michael Jordan. LeBron's high school had a shoe deal with Adidas. Now, to do the numbers, it was $15,000 a year, St. Vincent, St. Mary. Sonny Vaccaro said it was the greatest shoe deal of all time because we paid nothing, and we got LeBron for 2 years. He's on ESPN, everybody. But what you've got now is not just Will brought it. So there's two things. You want the Bowen. You want the number 30 player. He might turn into a big-time pro. The odds are decent. Not perfect, but they're there. We can then send him to an Adidas school. Adidas has paid $160 million to Louisville to have their basketball and football teams. They want to protect that investment. You can't just sit there and go, I hope Rick Pitino turns out a good team that makes the Final Four. You want to stock the pond. So that's number two. We're going to have it as a feeder. This is just seed money. They're throwing $25,000 for Adidas, nothing. Three, he's going to play for the Michigan Mustangs, AAU team. He's going to play at the three streets. He's going to play at all our events. As our events are better, we can also attract more, right? It just sort of builds on itself. But these days, young kids are watching the AAU team. Like, that's the cool – if you've got the coolest team in Michigan – and the best players, there are a lot of 15-year-old kids who play basketball in Michigan are going, man, Michigan Mustangs, Adidas, that's who I want. They're watching on YouTube. They're watching on Instagram, Snapchat. It's changed. The technology's changed the whole thing. You don't have to have an AAU tournament on national television. Like I said about Zion Williamson, his target group, his followers are unbelievable. There isn't a company in America that wouldn't want 1.7 million teenagers who follow religiously somebody. You've got to pay a lot of money for that. And so who's following? Every kid, every high school basketball and the player in the country's following, because what you're seeing now, what you're going to see on ESPN all winter is what they saw, and they're just watching it. They don't care that it's against Kentucky. If it's, oh, my God, did you see that dunk? Who cares if it was in some South Carolina high school game? So there is three levels of value, and it's all there. Whatever it is, that's Adidas' decision. You know, like this is how they see fit to run the business. They're better off in a lot of ways paying him than just your second tier NBA star, because there's really only a few NBA stars who sell shoes: LeBron, Steph, Kyrie, Jordan. Still, you know, but if you're just Jimmy Butler or something, there's not a lot of people going, I got to buy whatever Jimmy Butler's wearing. And that's a great player. So it's you're almost better with this grassroots stuff, buying up all the best high school players.
All of this, I guess, has been, at one level, it's like a fascinating shift in just the subtle way that how these things are done or how shoes are sold and everything has changed. But the other part has been, I just still remain amazed that anybody can deny the idea. Like, we are still having a fight with people about the mere idea that there is value that these players generate that is separate from the school that they attend.
It's absurd. And that argument now, because of the technology, I believe, because of social media, has really changed. Before, it was a little bit more abstract. But now you can sit there and say, look, Zion Williamson doesn't have to play at Duke. And you're seeing guys, they're just, they take a year off, right? He doesn't have to play at Duke. He's going to be a lottery pick next year if he just sat and worked with a personal trainer. And he could have made more money selling commercials or whatever. Now, he sees a value. This is, you know, so this goes back to the schools. The schools do provide value. Zion Williamson is going to become a massive star this winter because everyone's going to be watching. This is the most exciting and interesting player I've seen play college basketball probably. I mean, I thought Anthony Davis was pretty fun, but maybe since Steph, when he really got it going, where you're like, I got to see this. You know, they try to make it sometimes. They'll try to hype a guy up, but like, he's doing things you're not going to see. He's 6'9", 285 pounds. He'd be the second heaviest player in the NBA right now. And he's got a 40-something inch vertical leap. Like, it's crazy. So he sees value, and I go to Duke, I drape myself in this, I'm gonna leech off your brand, I'm going to build myself even bigger. So there is a value there. But the idea that the value is all one way is ridiculous. And at the same time, there's huge value in Duke because this kid, all the people that hate Duke, and there's a lot of them, it's going to be hard to hate him. Hard to hate him this winter. Like, go ahead and keep hating them, but I bet you're watching. Like, there's value all over the place, but it is a equal relationship at this point. And that was always hard to do, but when you could throw that number out there and go, hey, this guy's more popular on social media, which is where your teenage kid is watching. Your kids don't sit down and watch a basketball game anymore, like a full game. Yeah, I got kids. My daughter loves the NBA. She'll be like, yeah, man, Russell Westbrook had 50 last night. Did you hear that, Dad? No, how'd you hear that? Oh, it was on Snapchat, the NBA Snapchat feed. That's how she gets her NBA. She's not going to sit down and watch 3 hours of a basketball game. But that's just how it is. So she know, you know, all these people know these guys, and that's it. If you could, anybody who thinks there's no value in them in basketball, it's just, I mean, I don't know what you're talking. I don't know who you're talking to.
You know, I'm not one of those people that's like, Krzyzewski wouldn't have done this 20 years ago. Yes, he would have. He just would have gotten him and then been shocked when he left after 1 year, right? He, like, I thought we were in this for the long haul. Like, Krzyzewski's always been about getting these dudes, but the people that have hated Duke, and for a lot of the reasons they've hated Duke, Zion is going to create, like, a real conundrum for them because he also, this is not Danny Ferry, right? Like, this isn't Christian Laettner. This isn't Lance Thomas.
Slap the floor.
Yeah. No. Here's the thing. If he does want to make it flip, go out there and slap the floor. That'll make it legitimately hard, even if he does a somersault.
He wears like a Wojo throwback or something. Right? Hate Duke all you want. You're not going to hate him now. No. You have a hard one. 1 year reprieve. Everyone can get their hate Duke get out of jail free card for 1 year. And then you go back to hating him next year. But it's hard to hate this kid.
Now, they also, I feel like they had a 10-year process, really, where they did, like, not that they wouldn't slap the floor here and there, but they did look around and they were like, hey, man, this is not really good for business, like the way that people are talking about us. They made Wojo and Collins move out of the basement, go move out on their own, get their own gigs, and then replace them with Nate James and Jeff Capel and everything else. And now Zion Williamson dunks for Duke, which we never would have expected 10 years ago.
Nah, he's the Carolina player, or he's a Georgia Tech player, or something like that. UNLV. I mean, this is a bigger Larry Johnson. You know, I mean, this is. I was a UNLV fan growing up because they were the most exciting team. You know, and this kid's going to be super exciting. So, I mean, Kay's a smart guy. I mean, he's a great coach. You know, I mean, and yeah, you need players. And there used to be this kind of old school sentiment that I need years to build them and freshmen are too young. And these guys now are playing 100 games a year in AAU basketball and high school. If you combine them, you're playing over 100 games. And you can crack on AAU all you want, but it's not that bad. Like, okay, is it the most intense thing? No, but who cares? They've been playing 100 games a year since they're in the fifth grade. They travel all over. They're ready to go. You see it in football with the 7-on-7 has turned all these quarterbacks into game ready. Look how many good young quarterbacks are on the NFL now. It's because they were playing 7-on-7 ball when they're 10 years old. They've thrown and used to play, you know, 10 games for your high school. That was it. Now you lift weights the rest of the year. Now these guys are playing all the time. So you see it all. And these kids are ready to go. And so Coach K, whose roots go back to playing for Bob Knight at West Point, like as conservative as you can be, realizes that I don't care. This, I mean, these three kids came out the other night and they were bang, let's go. And you could win titles. Calipari saw it and embraced it, in part because he didn't have a choice. He's at Memphis, and this was his angle. But he saw it and embraced it and realized the kids show up, we're ready. I don't need Derrick Rose for 3 years to teach him how to play basketball. He's ready day one. But now everybody sees it, and that's why you see, and now Duke's in the game, and you go, hey, you can go to Duke, and I'm not going to try to squash you. I know you're only here for 6 months. Now that's a really powerful recruiting pitch. Plus you got Nike behind you, you know, to whatever level, you know, take your guess, but it all works.
I also wondered too, as Krzyzewski coached Team USA and looked around at that room full of guys that he would not have recruited and looked at himself and was like, what am I doing? Right? Like, it was a whole bunch of dudes that he probably would not have spent the time recruiting to come to Duke because they wouldn't have stayed for the time period that he wanted. As his program, I wouldn't say it was struggling because that would be unfair, but it was a downtime in 2008 for Duke. He looked around at that and was like, man, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. Let's get these good guys.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, LeBron didn't go to college, but hey, he's a pretty good dude, and he's a hell of a player. Like, yeah, these guys aren't so bad. Nothing bad about them. It's incredible, you know? And so, yeah, I think he just was playing teams and losing. I mean, at some point, you know, you got to have them. It's basketball. It's not – you can out-scheme people in other sports, but there's five guys on the court. And you watch the NBA – the best player at the end of the night wins the game. For the most part, that's how every game gets played. So you sit there and go, all right, they're in it, but, you know, guess who's getting – KD's going to hit a shot. No one can defend, and Golden State's going to win. And so if you have those guys, you don't. And yeah, these kids are, you know, they're not bad people because they want to go to the NBA. It's not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with it. And their families want them to go to the NBA. That was – Calipari was the smartest at that. And it certainly goes back. You know, I mean, Tark and some of these other guys really always saw it and saw, like, this guy doesn't want to go to college. Like, their dream is the NBA. And I'm not going to necessarily – we're going to try to, you know, hey, take some classes and stuff. But I'm not going to sit here and just talk about all this stuff. Like, I will get you to the NBA. And I will get you there. And that's it. I will not stand in your way. I will do everything I can to get you there. And everyone else is coming in still selling this old kind of, well, we'll get you this degree. Like, dude, I want out as fast as I possibly can. And embracing that and being honest about it. And I think the fans are now honest about it. Like, they're fine with it. Kentucky, I mean, if you're a Kentucky basketball fan, I always laugh. Like, you just get a new team every year. Like, this whole era, and they love it because they're good. It's like, next guy. And then they always like, man, I love that player. Like, he was there like 5 months. But, you know, they developed that love anyway, even though they know, man, Anthony Davis isn't sticking around. Like, what are you doing?
Well, also, the math on this changed when the money changed. Like, in the 1970s or even early 80s, you probably need to go ahead and get that degree, right? Because the money you're going to make in the NBA is not really that much. We're talking about a whole nother world now.
Yeah. Was it? I think it was during the Bad Boys 30 for 30. If you ever saw his great 30 for 30, Bill Laimbeer. Bill Laimbeer grew up in California. His dad was like a financial planner. And he's like, my rookie year, my dad made more than me. Like, until LeBron James Jr., till Bronny makes the league, that ain't happening, right? Like, this is not, there's no way. You made good money, but you needed that degree. Now you make so much money and you go back and get the degree. You know, college is whatever. I think everything's changed except the rule book.
I also find that these guys, even the ones that don't stay in college for very long, especially basketball players, they tend to turn out like remarkably cultured. Part of it, I guess, is because they're on the circuit and they take all these trips for all this time, but they are remarkably exposed given all the counter arguments that people make about why they need to be in college.
Oh, absolutely. And let me say this too. Like, I don't have a data. I've tried to find somebody who has the data on this and I haven't been able to. Maybe they're out there. So maybe they're listening. Contact me. But you look at the NBA, okay, youth sports has changed dramatically. And in every sport, parents spend a lot of money on their kids, if you're a really good player, developing that player. So in basketball, you know, it's 1975 or 1985. The best point guards came out of New York City, right? Coney Island. You went down to the court. The kid had to play all day. He got tons of reps. You know, if you lose, you get knocked off the court. Where a suburban kid or most rural kids were better shooters, Larry Bird, Ray Allen, those kind of guys, because they're just all alone shooting. And you had these, like, you know, you'd have these kind of geographic, if you will, let alone cultural kind of stereotypes. Now, everyone's playing a million games, but the wealthier parents can spend money on the personal trainer, dribbling coach, shooting coach, all these different things. And now you look at the NBA, there is a lot of guys in the league whose dads played in the NBA or came from the suburbs or had two-parent households. It's not that old kind of stereotype of like, oh, I'm going to get this kid out of the projects and get him to my college. Like, no, it's like Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, you know, like they were never in the projects, you know, or a lot of these guys. I don't know that it's true. It just feels that way. But there's a lot more, you know, Trey Young, like, you know, dad's a, you know, successful guy. Like even Tuggs Bowen, like the guy in the middle of the biggest scandal here, Brian Bowen Sr. was a cop in Saginaw, you know, and he's on disability, but he, you know, this is not like the biggest, like from nowhere, you know, worst spot. And I just think that because you can spend so much money on training players, you have the guys that are going, that become elite, you might have more people that, yeah, you know what, we are cultured because my family took a trip to Europe when I was 12 because we had the money. You know, it's just a different thing. Now, I don't know if that's true, but you just kind of notice how many guys are in this league that come from different spots than they used to.
And even the ones from, like, the other places, man, they're starting so young. I got a buddy with a 9-year-old. He'd been to Vegas more times than I have. And that's playing AAU basketball.
Even like LeBron, who is somewhat of a, by these standards, a little bit of a late find. Like, no one really knew who he was until he's like 11. I mean, I'm joking, but not joking. And he just played on a local Akron team. Like, boom, they're going all over the country. And so, yeah, you're all over the country. You're meeting different people. You're exposed to more. It's not the same as that old stereotype where the kid's just playing ball on the court in the middle of Coney Island. And then he goes to Lincoln High and they, you know, the big trip is to go to Albany for the state title game. And then, you know, then Coach Knight comes in and gets them or whatever coach, you know, we'll show you campus, 5 trips. You can come see California. I've been to California, man. You know, it's just a different ball game. So there's so much support and there's so much money in these guys that they're going to come in and find you and they're going to pluck you out and you're going to have that experience. And on a positive side, that's great for even the kids that don't make it, you know, what a great thing. Nothing bad about that. Adidas is flying us all over the country. Great. Like I always am like, what's the problem? This is my thing with this Adidas. Oh my God. Adidas paid Tuggs Bowen's family $25,000 in play a summer of basketball. This is a federal crime. Why? What was the downside? If Google had come in and found the number one coder in Michigan, Saginaw High, and said, after your sophomore year, why don't you move out to San Francisco for the summer and have an internship? We'll pay you $25,000 because we want to see what you can do, and you would help us, and maybe we identify you as a future employee of Google. Everyone in the city would celebrate. Well, that is an unbelievable opportunity. Well, this is the exact same thing that happened with Tuggs Bowen, but we're in a federal courthouse. Like, what's the problem? This kid worked hard. He doesn't even know he's getting paid. His dad's taking the money. He doesn't even know. He worked hard. He built himself up. The family's built him up. Everything's gone in on it. Why is this a problem? All because the NCAA says, no, we want all Adidas' money. We want these kids not paid because then we don't have to pay taxes. We can sell this, you know, this amateurism thing to America. And it's ridiculous. I mean, you've got a federal trial based on a big company trying to help a family in Saginaw because their son is so talented. It's just ridiculous.
All right. And that is the man, Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports. Man, thanks so much for joining us. It was a lot of fun.
Appreciate it, man. Anytime you need me.
No problem, man.
Congrats on all of your success. I knew you when, and now you're like megastar. We'll just be talking Carolina hoops.
I appreciate it, man. But hey, you got to write a book with Jerry Tarkanian. Until somebody makes a movie out of something I do, I think you're still the winner.
Tark's all right. He was great.
All right, man. You have a good one.
Thanks, Bo.
All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing here twice a week. My man Gabe Bassain handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Thank you to Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports for joining us. We need your help. We have got a survey for the show. We want to talk a little bit about what we're doing. That'll be on about 6 months or so, just to ask you guys what you think about some things so we can try to make the show as good as it possibly can be. You can fill it out mobily. Go to swerve.in/Bomani. That's SWURV. SWURV.IN/BOMANI. Also, thanks to our sponsor, Hims. Remember to subscribe to The Right Time Podcast. Subscribe to the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get it. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe that you are a hater. And we will talk to you guys next week. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.
The Right Time with Bomani Jones is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.